And we welcome you back to The Blitz with Robert Lovell on ESPN Radio 1410, also online, NorthPlatteProst.com. The Blitz is presented by Shrake's Body Shop. They work with all major insurance companies. Robert Lovell alongside Scott Carlson, as usual. And joining us now on the phone is Phil Still from his College Football Preview magazine. Phil, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, a real pleasure. How are you gentlemen this afternoon?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. We're just gearing up for some more Husker football. How's your summer been trying to get your magazine out and get on all these radio shows?
Well, I tell you what, the magazine process, there's probably a lot of 90 or 100-hour work weeks involved in that. So the radio process here, I've done probably about 350 different radio shows / coaches interviews so far this year. This is more fun. I get to talk football. I don't have to work 90 hours a week. So it's I enjoy June and July and the start of August. They're definitely my fun months of the year.
Now, we got to have Brandon from your company on last week with us and talk a little bit about the Huskers and the Big Ten with him. And when I went through your magazine this year, that one of the first things that stood out to me was that you have Nebraska slated as fourth in the West Division of the Big Ten. A lot of other people are picking them to finish higher than that, primarily based on the fact that they don't have that tough of a schedule this year. But Brandon brought up a great point that the tough games this year are going to be on the road. What are your thoughts on Nebraska's schedule, how it sets up, and where and how you figured that they would be finishing fourth in the division?
Yeah, that's the main reason I picked Nebraska fourth. And by the way, I've been a very popular guest on Nebraska radio stations this year. So anytime you pick a team lower than most folks' expectations, you're going to be on there quite a bit. And I think I've been filling up the Nebraska airwaves. But the main reason I picked Nebraska fourth is indeed the schedule. I think if you look at those top four teams in the Western Division, and I'm talking about Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, and Northwestern, those four teams are all almost identical talent-wise in one shape or form. The most experienced of the group is Northwestern. Probably the least experienced of the group, you go to Nebraska, which is number 97 in my experience ratings. Now, two of those teams have the best schedule. I'm talking about Wisconsin and Iowa. Iowa's got the best schedule of the bunch. They avoid the big three out of the East in Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. And the big three out of the West, they get them all at home. They're playing Wisconsin at home, Northwestern at home, and they even play Nebraska at home. So best schedule in the West by far, hands down, goes to Iowa. In fact, they could very well be favored in almost every single one of their games this year. Second best schedule in the West goes to Wisconsin. Wisconsin avoids the big three out of the East. They get at home Nebraska. They get at home but they have to play Iowa on the road this year. The least favorable schedule of the bunch goes to Nebraska. Not only do they have to play Northwestern, Iowa, and Wisconsin all on the road this year, they pull Michigan State out of the East and have to play them on the road. So four tough Big Ten road games, and that's the main reason right there why I have Nebraska picked to finish fourth in the West.
Taking a look at the rest of Nebraska's schedule, they do go at Fresno State in week three, and then they host Miami. When you look at those two games, the tough aspect of Fresno is that it's a West Coast game, so it's later than Nebraska's used to playing. And Fresno State's a good non-Power 5 team, but then, of course, you bring in the tradition that is the U in Miami the week later, the next week. So when you look at those two games, how do you feel like those set up for Nebraska?
You know, I have the Huskers favored in both, and a lot's going to depend on how both teams fare at the quarterback position. You look at Fresno State, that's a talented team. I went over the roster with Coach DeRuiter this year, and they've got good talent throughout. They've added a couple of transfers since I even wrote the magazine that are now on the team for the upcoming year. Brandon Kinnett figures to be the starting QB. He started some games at Duke last season. He is no Derek Carr, though. He's not a big-time passer. He's more of a runner. I think this team overall, if you look at every position but quarterback, is more talented than they were last year when they went 11-2. But the quarterback is a big question because it's tough to replace a Derek Carr. Now, when you look at Miami of Florida, they're a much stronger team than they were last season as well. When you look at Miami, their question mark, quarterback position. Now, quarterback might be sorted out by the Nebraska game. Ryan Williams was the guy that was supposed to start this year. He was a Memphis transfer. He was the backup quarterback last year. He had 15 to 20 passes in 2012. He had 22 to 32 passes last year and was pretty much anointed the starter. He's 6'6", 226. Well, he got injured in the spring. He's probably not going to be back this season until September 20th when Miami plays Nebraska. In the interim, Kevin Olsen was projected to be the starting QB. He was my number 4 rated QB out of high school, but he suspended week 1. It could very well be a Kansas transfer, and Jake Heaps. Heaps, of course, started a transfer last year. When I talked to Coach Weiss this summer, he said that Heaps is a very good quarterback if he's got a good offensive line in front of him and solid receivers, something that wasn't afforded last year at Kansas. Well, Miami of Florida's got a very good offensive line. They've got very good receivers. So it could be any of three quarterbacks that actually line up to take on Nebraska. And it'll be interesting to see if one of them has established himself as that go-to running back. They've got weapons, though. You look at Duke Johnson, a running back, dangerous speed, a receiver. And that defense, which has sort of underachieved each of the last 2 years, they've given up 486 yards per game, 426 yards per game. They're still a unit that looks pretty good getting off the bus. They've got size. They've got speed. They're getting a little bit deeper. I think they'll have their best defense in the last couple of years. So I think the Huskers benefit from the fact that both have major question marks at quarterback, and those teams are going to have to get those sorted out before they play Nebraska.
You mentioned a couple of things in there I want to ask you about. One of them I'll ask you later on is about Jake Heaps. I'm a BYU fan, so I've been on the Jake Heaps bandwagon before. But taking a look at, you mentioned that Fresno State added a couple of transfers since your magazine has come out, and that's the hard part about putting together a preview magazine is that things always change after you hit newsstands. What has changed in the Big Ten, if anything at all, that could be a benefit or a detriment to Nebraska?
Not a lot's changed in the Big Ten this year. And the good thing about the magazine is generally when you're dealing with college football, you know, you've got basically 22 starters, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 4 on special teams. So usually one guy in, one guy out doesn't have that big of an impact. I think the biggest impact I have ever seen out of a transfer had to be with Wisconsin a couple years ago when they brought in Russell Wilson. That was a complete game changer for them and something that happened after the magazine went out. But when I look at the Big Ten this year and all of the different skill positions that are there, nothing major has changed since I wrote the magazine. Fortunately, you know, we write the magazine late enough. We get all the spring practices in. We were able to catch Penn State losing one of their two returning offensive linemen to injury. And everything was pretty much up to date, though, when it comes to the Big Ten. So very comfortable with the forecast there.
Taking a look at Nebraska, you have their offensive line ranked as the 11th best offensive line or fourth worst in the Big Ten this year. You wrote in your magazine about how they've had to replace great offensive line players in years past. This year, of course, they have to replace Long. They have to replace Qualley. They have to replace Rodriguez. They have to replace Searle. So some big names, at least in Nebraska territory, that they are having to replace. How do you feel like they go about doing that, and what do you expect out of their offensive line this year?
Well, you know, last year, when you look at the offensive line, the numbers were pretty good. They only allowed 17 sacks. They had 4.8 yards per carry. And really, that's pretty remarkable considering all the injuries suffered on the offensive line. It was tough to see players start a lot of games due to injury. You know, you look at Long only started 6 games at right guard last year. I think only 2 offensive linemen started all 13 games. Everybody else was in bits and pieces. And you know, the offensive line was probably its biggest mismatch for the Michigan State game, and yet they played pretty well against Michigan State. In fact, had 392 yards offense. So given that as a criteria, it helps Nebraska's young offensive line this year. Nebraska returns, if you look at them up front, there's basically one full-time starter back in Cotton, but they've got a spattering of experience throughout. So I think that, you know, piecing this year's line together, they should be able to accomplish that. Just based on the raw numbers, I might have even ranked them a little bit lower based on what they've got coming back, experience levels and such. But knowing that last year's line was so injured, you figured this year's could actually improve.
Once again, talking to Phil Still from Phil Still's College Football Preview Magazine. You can get it at newsstands. You can buy the app and buy it that way as well on your tablet or your mobile phone. Phil, when you take a look at Amir Abdullah, I've been a big fan of Amir Abdullah the last couple of years. Last year, I was really high on him, and I felt like he didn't get the awards that he could have gotten because he didn't score touchdowns. The coaching staff, they have him run between the 20s, and they give it to Amani Cross when they get into the red zone. So he doesn't score as many touchdowns as the premier running backs do in college football. But if he gets that opportunity to do so this year, I feel like he could be a dark horse or even leading Heisman candidate come to the end of the season, provided Nebraska plays well throughout the year. But what are your thoughts on Amir Abdullah, and what do you expect out of him this year?
You know, I'm going to echo that sentiment, and I'll go to when he is running between the 20s, and if Nebraska needs 3 yards and they hand the ball off to Abdullah and there's contact 2 yards before the first down marker, somehow, some way, he goes and gets it. Very impressed with his tenacity and running ability. I think he's a guy that could be poised for a breakout season, or not really a breakout season. He had 1,700 yards last year, but an outstanding season and be a Heisman contender. I think the key is going to be how Nebraska fares in those big Big Ten road games. You're not going to see a Heisman contender on a four-loss team. Nebraska's going to have to win those road games, and they're all in the winnable category. The biggest game that I have Nebraska an underdog this year is the Michigan State game, where I have them a touchdown underdog. Every other game besides that, I've got them less than a TD underdog. So it's a Nebraska team that could surprise as far as pulling the road upsets this year. And if that happens and Abdullah's the star player, yes, I would consider him a Heisman candidate.
I'm going to ask you about a couple of their players. One, Kenny Bell. He's just about 600 yards from breaking Johnny Rogers' career receiving record at Nebraska. What kind of a season do you think Kenny Bell could have with the quarterback situation at Nebraska and moving on forward from there for Kenny Bell?
Well, as you know, Kenny Bell in 2012 had some great numbers. He had almost 900 yards receiving. He averaged 17.3 yards per catch. Now, last year with the inconsistent quarterback play, you know, with Martinez going down, then both Kellogg and Armstrong struggling at times. I mean, Armstrong completed 51% of his passes. He and Kellogg combined for 15 touchdowns, just 11 interceptions. Bell's numbers dropped dramatically to 577 yards, 11.1 yards per carry. Now, I think Armstrong's a much improved QB this year. He's going to be able to get the ball downfield more, and I think that's going to take Kenny Bell and turn him into a 1,000-yard season this year. I don't see any way he doesn't get 1,000. I think he's the feature wide receiver this year over last year after being number two receiver last season. So I'm expecting a 1,000-yard year from him. He's a guy that's great in space. He's a tough wide receiver to cover, and he's got that pull-away speed. So look for the YPC to get back up there like it was in 2012 at 17.3. Look for the catches to go up with the passing being a bigger part of the offense. And I think he will top 1,000 yards this year.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, you have Randy Gregory, who many people are predicting it now a top 15 draft pick for this upcoming NFL draft. He led the Big Ten last year in sacks, but he said just this week that he'd like to become better as a run stopper. What do you see in his game that could put him in that top 10, top 15 draft class, and what does he need to do, and what do you expect out of him?
You know, I probably interview, I would say, 85 to 90 coaches each year. There's just never enough time to get all 128 in there. And when I talk to the coaches about junior college players, generally, if a junior college player comes in August, they're a bit behind. It takes a while to adjust from junior college to the speed of the game. But for Randy Gregory to come in last year late, you know, he was didn't come in till August, and to put up the type of numbers he did last year, 10.5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss, 66 tackles, that's phenomenal. And now Randy Gregory's got a year under his belt. He's bigger, stronger, faster, and he's now acclimated to the system. I think Randy Gregory is poised for a monster year. That whole defensive line looks great. Malik Collins, Vincent Valentine up front, they're not going to be able to go ahead and double-team, triple-team Gregory, because they've got other outstanding players on the line. So I think the defensive line, which I rate number 7 in the country, will be dominant this year, led by Gregory.
Everybody in Cornhusker Nation loves Ndamukong Suh, widely considered the best Nebraska player in the 2000s. Eric Crouch right there close by, but Ndamukong Suh considered the best overall. When you take a look at Randy Gregory and Ndamukong Suh, how would you compare Gregory to Suh?
Tough to compare a defensive end to a guy that played on the interior. Sue was extremely disruptive inside, could just wreck an offense, and for him to get the amount of sacks he did from the inside was remarkable. Gregory comes in a little bit lighter naturally, about 250 pounds in that area, and is a pass rush specialist on the outside. So I think it's tough to compare, sort of like apples and oranges when you're comparing ends and tackles.
Once again, Phil Steele from Phil Steele's College Football Preview Magazine. Phil, I have a friend that's a Wyoming fan for some reason. There's a few of them out here in western Nebraska. he wanted me to get your prediction on the Cowboys' upcoming season.
Well, you know, when I talked to Coach Bowl this year, they've got a pretty good talent over there that he's inheriting. But there are some categories where they're lacking a little bit. Their running backs are fantastic. The defensive line is fantastic for this team. But there are a lot of other areas where there are some question marks. You have a first-year head coach. He's got to learn the players' strengths and weaknesses. Players have to learn new systems. Yes, they have 16 returning starters coming back this year. But keep in mind, with the new head coach, some of those guys are going to lose their job. But I think I greatly respect the job Craig Bohl did at North Dakota State. Three straight national championships. I think when you look at their schedule, they'll be favored over Montana, Air Force, Florida Atlantic, and San Jose State. All those are home games. They're going to have to go on the road and pull an upset, like a New Mexico on the road, Hawaii on the road. Both fall in the winnable category. I think if they can snag those two road games, then you're looking at the potential of a bowl season this year. But I didn't call for it in the magazine. I've got them coming in fifth in the Mountain West Mountain Division and just missing out on a bowl.
And then before I let you go, Phil, as a BYU fan, you know I've got to get my independent questions in there as well. You mentioned Jake Heaps. I was a big fan of Jake Heaps. I felt like he was rushed into the starting position maybe a little early, and then they really didn't fully give him the position with Riley Nielsen there. BYU kind of converting to the running type of offense, the running quarterback type of offense with Riley Nielsen and now Taysom Hill there. What can I expect, or another the spattering of BYU fans we have out here, expect out of BYU this year?
Well, if you're a BYU fan, you got to have high expectations heading into the year. Last year's 8-5 record was fueled by a couple different areas. First of all, that defense only had three returning starters and allowed over a touchdown more than they had the previous year. And they were battling a brutal schedule last year. There was barely a breather on the schedule. You know, some of the games they won, like Houston, Boise State, Georgia Tech, those were not easy contests. So they really ran through the gauntlet last year. This year the schedule gets easier. I rate it the number 73 schedule in the country. BYU, when you look at them defensively, they lose a couple of key players. You know, losing Van Noy, a linebacker, is always big. But six starters back on defense. I think they've got talent on that side of the ball. It'll be a typical Bronco Mendenhall defense. Offensively, getting Hill back, I think Hill improves his passing game this year after completing just 54%. As you touched on, it's unusual to see BYU with more running quarterbacks. But I think Hill, with the weapons he's got to throw to, like a Ross Apple, a Devon Blackman, a couple of guys that were VHTs coming out of high school, signed with Texas and Oregon, these are a couple of guys who are going to have big-time impacts. I like that receiving core. The offensive line struggled last year, but I think is back to being your typical BYU offensive line. And the only three games I have an underdog this year, at Texas. Of course, Texas has a new head coach, just got rid of a bunch of players. They crushed Texas last year. That's winnable. At UCF and Bright House Stadium, UCF loses Bortles. And then at Boise State on a Friday night on the blue turf, I've got BYU capable of playing in every single game this year. I'm looking for a 9 or 10 win season for the Cougars.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear as BYU fans, of course. And then last question before I let you go, Phil. Best case scenario for the Huskers and worst case scenario for the Huskers this year?
Well, you know, best case scenario, since there's only one game, I've got a more than a touchdown underdog. I'm going to go 11-1 would be a best case scenario. Now, worst case scenario would be Miami of Florida finds their quarterback, plays a great game, and somehow knocks them off at home. They lose all four Big Ten road games this year and end up at 7-5. But that would be an absolutely worst case scenario. The 11-1 would be, in my mind, the best case scenario. I'm projecting more of like an 8-4 or 9-3 this year.
Phil, appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Great information, as always.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you guys this afternoon. And if you check out more, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at PhilSteele042, at PhilSteele042.
All right, Phil, once again, thanks for joining us, and we'll look forward to a good college football season.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, you too.